Albuquerque this week. I'm Joey Peters.
I'm Matthew Reichbach.
It's the Weekly Word, and today we're going to be talking about mixed martial arts with a soon-to-be pro fighter named Andrew Tennyson. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing good, Joey. How are you?
Good.
So we'll be talking to him about MMA. We'll ask him about some of the criticisms of MMA, and we'll tell you guys what MMA is if you don't know. And we'll do all that and more when we get back after this break.
So I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter. And
I'm Matthew Reichbach with Mexico Telegram, nmtelegram.com.
And so, again, we're here with Andrew Tennyson, who, Andrew, you've been practicing mixed martial arts for how long now?
Probably about 5 years, maybe six.
So let's first say, what is mixed martial arts, and why is it becoming so popular these days?
Well, that's two very different questions, but okay, I'll try to get them. Mixed martial arts is a sport that was created in the 90s and earlier through different genesises, different forms. But it's basically a combination of boxing, wrestling, kickboxing, taekwondo, whole bunch of different martial arts in a certain rule form. Yeah, unarmed combat. We don't you don't have katanas in there, so it's okay. No sword fighting. But
not yet.
Not yet, right? But all these different martial arts are put together, and you're able to test different martial arts styles and different techniques in a similar situation as, let's say, boxing or anything else.
And then I guess people would know is UFC. That's
yes.
Probably the three letters that they know.
Yes. If you walk up to me and you ask, do you do UFC? It's like walking up to a basketball player and says, do you do NBA? It doesn't make any sense.
And I'm sure that happens a lot. You're that UFC fighter, right?
It's like, no. But no, the thing is, the sport, the UFC is so big that it's all-encompassing that it's like the NBA. If that's the only form of the sport to lots of people, but there's actually lots of small promotions, and one of them is the Jackson series, and I'm going to be fighting on that soon, hopefully.
Yeah, so Jackson's mixed martial arts is the gym that you train at. They also train some prominent UFC fighters as well, and you get to be there kind of all with them, all together sparring.
Yes, correct? So for your listeners to imagine this, say you were like 20-something and you decided to pick up basketball, and there's a basketball gym in your neighborhood, so you went there, and Michael Jordan trains there, and so do the rest of the Chicago Bulls and everyone else below them in skill level. That's basically what happened.
So it's pretty much like you going to Rucker Park in Harlem.
Yes, yes, I'll train. You'll train with people more your level, but you also get to train with the high level people, and they will beat you up, but they're nice about it, so it's cool. I really do. It's really amazing that I do go to, in my opinion, the greatest team in the world. Yet I'm just this Rio Rancho kid that went to UNM.
Yeah, so you're from Rio Rancho, and what age did you decide to start trying MMA?
Well, it was kind of an accident because I was trying to impress my girlfriend.
it always starts with the girl.
Yeah, I know, but I learned some army combatives when I was in the army in basic training, and I was showing her one day, and then at the park or at Lower Johnson Field at UNM. And then this guy came over, and he's like, hey, do you grapple? And I'm like, yeah, I grapple. And so grappling is just another way of saying Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's like wrestling, but you can choke and dislocate people's arms.
The goal is to get the person to tap out.
They'll tap out. They'll say uncle physically by tapping you. And that way no one gets hurt, and it's actually pretty safe. As I always tell everybody, it's safer than flag football, the most dangerous sport known to man.
Every single person who's played flag football has hurt their knee or hurt their ankle.
I'm telling you, it's like the guy that I was training with, the very first guy, he was this little guy named Robin, and he must have weighed like 130 pounds, and I was like 175 at the time, and he was just making me tap out all the time because it's about leverage and technique more than just strength.
And then, so how old were you at this time?
I was 21. Sorry, I forgot the question. I believe I was 21, maybe 20.
So then, yeah, and you told me this story before. Mm-hmm. Was it him or some other people at invited you to actually go and train?
No, he told me that there was a wrestling room at UNM, and so I went there and I met some people there. One of them, Frank, he went to Jackson's, and so I started going to Jackson's, and that's when I really started doing MMA. Because before then, it was just grappling, which no hitting involved. But MMA, there's hitting, wrestling, kickboxing, everything else.
Oh, and so how old are you now?
I am 27, just turned 27, so I'm old.
Happy birthday. I'll turn 27 soon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, I'm the old man. I'll turn 28 soon. So for all you listeners who are older than us. So you do that. You get into Jackson's. And were you thinking, like, I'm going to actually get in there and fight in a ring? Or are you thinking, it's just a fun thing to do, just to roll around?
Well, the cool thing about martial arts is that it's something you can do for the rest of your life. And it's about self-improvement, in my opinion anyway. About self-improvement, getting better. Some people say that doesn't exist in MMA. I think it does. And I've always wanted to fight because it's a test. You know, it's a challenge. It's like you run a lot, but you want to run that marathon. It's like, why? It's like you can run a marathon around your neighborhood if you really want to. But just having the numbers and having these people around you, it's not about winning or losing. It's about the challenge, the situation.
But are there people at Jackson's that go there and they're just like, you know what, I don't want to get in the ring. I don't want to fight. I just want to, you know, do jiu-jitsu. I want to do some kickboxing. I want to combine them just for fun.
Yes, there's actually what happened was after I was going there for a while, the gym split into two kind of. The more more competitive-oriented gym on Acoma, and then the new gym, the Jackson Academy, on Candelaria and Eubank, I believe, most people at the Candelaria and Eubank one don't fight at all. They just do it because it's really good for you. It's really a great exercise, full body workout. It's amazing, and no one's there to beat you up. It's not a fight club or anything.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something you get a lot too. Is it like you can't talk about it or?
Yeah, I can't talk about it, and then we're really trying to plan world domination from there. You know, we're like the Foot Clan from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So here you are, you know, years later, and you had served in Iraq, correct?
Yes, I believe I went to Iraq in 2009, and then I got back in 2010,
and
then I
got married. Yeah, so military service, that kind of, you know, sidetracked, would you say, or not sidetracked, but...
Well, I was going to UNM, and then I got deployed, and I wasn't going to Jackson's, like, my whole time that I'm learning how to grapple. But yeah, I guess it slowed me down a little bit. But as I said, lifelong journey. I'm going to do other things in my life. I'm hopefully going to live to 100. Hopefully the life expectancy goes up a little bit,
yeah.
Right? But I'm going to do this now because when I'm 85, I won't be able to fight competitively. But I'm going to do it now, and it doesn't matter that I didn't do it when I was 21.
But cool. Right now I'm saying, or I guess what I'm trying to get at is right now you're doing this full time.
Yes.
And you're with the goal of going pro soon.
Yes.
So how many amateur fights have you had now?
I've had 5 amateur mixed martial arts fights, 2 amateur kickboxing fights, and 4 grappling tournaments.
And what can you tell us your record?
I haven't lost yet, as far as I
know. Well, as far as you know?
Well, as far as I know. No,
so
I haven't.
Maybe you got knocked out and you just don't remember it.
I don't remember. I lost one grappling tournament, but it was like a tournament after the tournament I won. But other than that, I'm 5-0 MMA, and that's... I mean, records don't mean anything. I'm going to lose eventually, just not next fight. Never the next fight.
Never the next fight.
Like 10 fights from now.
And the next fight is...
August 10th, hopefully, at the Downs, Tingling Coliseum, Jackson Series.
Yeah, our favorite place, the Downs at Albuquerque. but that's so that's coming up. That's another amateur fight.
Yes, it's going to be my last amateur fight. It's going to be at a weight class that I'd rather not completely fight at because I'm like a little tiny for it. But it's against dangerous opponents. It's going to be fun.
It's 155. You said you're going to
yes
before the show, and you normally go at 145.
Well, I fought most of my other fights at 55, but the weigh-in was pretty silly when I'd come in like 2 or 3 pounds under. I'd be like 152.
You have a cheeseburger in one hand.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't make any sense. But I might as well try really hard and not be addicted to food.
So, when you go down to 145, how much weight do you have to cut?
I try to get to about 152 with water in me, and then the rest is water weight mostly.
And then I'm always interested in this because my brother wrestled, a lot of my friends wrestled. They always had to cut weight.
Yeah.
What's your method of cutting weight?
Mostly having a really strict diet leading up to it, definitely like a month out.
And for people that don't know, basically you weigh in a day before the fight. You have to weigh in at 145 or 155. And most of these people walk around at a lot heavier than what they fight at.
And, you know, fight heavier too the next day, I would assume, right?
Yeah. The thing is, like, some people will weigh in and then gain 10, 15 pounds by the time they fight. And so they'll look like the Walking Dead. It will be this little skinny guy. His cheeks are all sunken in. He has, like, no gut. And then suddenly he's just this, like, monster the next day. He, like, became the Hulk.
And you get that by losing all the water weight.
Yeah, it's dehydration and not eating.
And I remember one story. The guy wrestled at 103 when he was a senior in high school. And the night before the state tournament, you know, they were all, you know, getting together. And one of the moms said, "Oh, here, I have some fruit. You want an orange?" He's like, "No, I can't eat till we weigh in." And that's always in my mind whenever I hear about people cutting weight.
Yeah, no one eats around me when I'm cutting weight. I can't deal with it. But yeah, basically I think of it like the most negative light you can put it in is a really short-term eating disorder. That you're just like, I'm not eating even though it's not good for me to not eat.
Okay, so you weigh in and you make weight.
And then you stuff your face.
And then immediately...
Some people actually get IVs.
That makes sense.
They drink Pedialyte, you know, like for dehydrated toddlers.
Well, they're dehydrated.
Yeah, you know. You do whatever you can to get that weight back, but without, you know, I ate too much. I can't possibly do anything the next day. You don't want it to be like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. What do you eat?
I'm pretty bad. I'll try to have, actually I eat Total. I'm good. I eat Total cereal.
Okay.
I eat Total cereal and some fruit. But then right after the fight, that night, waffles and pancakes.
So I want you to tell us, or get just a normal person to understand what it's like then to be in that octagon the next day. What goes through your mind when you're fighting?
Well, for me, for everyone personally, it's different probably. But what you got to think about it is that you've played, let's say you're playing basketball. You train a lot, you work hard, but then when you're in the game, everything, the stress, the butterflies in your stomach, all of it is just... And then you're super aware, too. It's amazing. It's like... Just everything clicks. And if you're able to calm yourself down and, like, see everything that they're doing and pay attention, it flies by so fast that you couldn't believe that you just spent 9 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever, however long the fight was. Because it's... You're hyper aware because it's dangerous.
Yeah, because if you're not hyper aware, if you're not paying attention, then somebody punches you in the face.
Yeah, you get knocked out.
So do you feel a big adrenaline rush when it happens? Or?
I try to get the adrenaline going the weeks leading up to the fight. I try to get that, I guess, you know, the stress hormones, all those things. I just try to get my mind to go through the bad, worst case scenarios. So by the time I'm there, it's more like I'm playing basketball in my driveway that I'm playing in a huge game. So I'm trying, and I feel like I'm just sparring with a friend, you know, even though I'm hitting him really hard, but I just feel just as relaxed.
So that's your, like, you try to make sure that you're prepared, basically being prepared, I guess that's the main thing that will make you most comfortable, I'd assume.
Yeah. They talk about you win the fight in training camp, not in the ring or in the cage, because you're not going to be able to pull out some new move that you never worked on and just be like, oh, yeah, I won the fight with it. Never done it before. It all has to be stuff that you've worked on and you've trained, and you can't think about it. You just have to react. And that reaction, that instinct has to be instilled in you through training.
And there, of course, is a limit to what you can do or what you, you know, can use in the there are rules.
Yes, there are rules, and the sport, in my opinion, is safer than boxing. Because of the size of the gloves and how fights end. But the basic rules are you can't kick someone in the head when they're down. You can't poke them. You can't grab their clothes. You can't...
No headbutting.
No headbutting.
You can't work small joints. You small can't like, joint break somebody's finger.
Yeah, just things like that.
But you can elbow to the head, right?
I can elbow to the head now, even amateurs in the state of Mexico, but the rules are different depending on which state you're in.
How is that? But there still is quite a bit allowed. How do you view it as safer than boxing, or why?
I think it goes down to the physics of a glove that weighs, like, let's say, a normal boxing glove is like 16 ounces, maybe 12 ounces, right? And then your MMA glove is only 8 ounces. And so if you remember, like, what force is, it's like volume times mass times acceleration or whatever, right? And so you're ending up getting more trauma to your brain from the big gloves than the little gloves. You're also getting hit more with the big gloves because you can take, like, 200 punches in a 12-round boxing match.
And if you get knocked down in a boxing match, you can stand up, shake it off for 8 seconds.
Yes.
And then go back in it. But if you get knocked down in an MMA fight,
the guy will jump on you. Anytime you cannot defend yourself intelligently, that's the standard, right? The fight will be stopped and you will lose. Unlike in boxing where people will be out standing up or get completely knocked out unconscious and then regain consciousness after a concussion, let's say, and get back up.
And it won't even necessarily be a punch that ends the fight. It could be it could be you getting somebody down to the ground and getting them in a chokehold.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite fighters, Damian Maia, he took this one guy down. No one landed a punch. He wrestled him to the ground, got behind him like a backpack, like a human backpack, and choked him. And the guy didn't even get hurt. They could have both, you know, fought like right away again, but the whole fight was over just like that.
It was basically like a jiu-jitsu match.
Yeah, it was a jiu-jitsu match. He turned into a grappling match.
So I reported on MMA a few months back, and I talked to Master Iannakis.
Iannakis?
Iannakis. Yeah. And he teaches judo at UNM. And
classical jiu-jitsu.
And he was coming from a perspective, and I know it's kind of a controversy between the, you know, the question of is MMA real martial arts. He was coming to the perspective that it really wasn't, and he was using examples to me like, you know, back in like feudal Japan or whatever, you could, you know, people would use martial arts moves of like gouging your eye out, and obviously you can't do that. Like it's scaled back in MMA. It's it's regulated, so it's not the real moves. It's not the real, you know. He's coming from that perspective, and it's more like a gladiator thing here. So what is your response to that? This whole, you know, old is coming from the very old school perspective of, you know, something in a ring in front of a bunch of people shouting is not true martial arts. What's your
he's right and he's wrong. The thing is that if you want to practice legitimate, let's say, martial and concentrate on the martial, right, military arts, you need to get an assault rifle, body armor, and you need to do military training like the Marine Corps or the Army.
Which you did.
Which I did, right? You know, and
I'm sure that the training, like you said, you did some basic grappling and basic training.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a lot different because your goal is to kill the person.
Your goal, the all idea is that if you're wearing body armor and you don't have a knife on you, well, you say your gun breaks. And then you grab the guy and you try to stab him, but then you lose your knife in the dark. So you want to choke him out or you want to break his arm because maybe hitting him isn't going to work. Because he has, like, let's say he has a big helmet on, you're going to break your hand. And grappling has been used in situations, you know, to, like, choke out some guy with, like, a suicide vest or something. But the main point is that if you want to do real martial arts, you'd probably just go to the firing range and practice a lot. You'd practice clearing rooms. You'd practice knife fighting. You'd practice things like that instead of, I'm going to go back and do samurai things that the samurai probably didn't do exactly the same way you do now, be martial.
So do you think that the name mixed martial arts is maybe a misnomer a little bit?
The thing is, the whole name martial arts is a misnomer because the arts that you're practicing are now obsolete because modern militaries will not do them exactly that way. And so basically what you're doing is continuing an art form that often has competition because that's the only way you can test what it is. And the competition rules change the way that art is practiced. And there's Japanese jiu-jitsu competitions, there's judo competitions, and there's And wrestling is a martial art. The Greeks did wrestling, you know, because it was part of, I'm in a fight, I need to wrestle this guy down. And so turning those into a sport, into a competition, making them an art, that's what happened.
So this whole notion of art versus entertainment, you know, what is MMA? Is it art or is it entertainment? Is it both?
What is art? You know, that's a really big question.
We're getting into really philosophical stuff here.
I know, but it's cool.
What is life?
I want to get into another. We'll bring the philosophy back to MMA because you talked to me before about the audience. You know,
mm-hmm. What do they see?
What do they get out of it? And it seems to me, I mean, there are many types of MMA fans, but there is a contingent of MMA fans who want to see violence. And what is the difference between the, you know, the people practicing, the people fighting in the octagon, in the ring, versus that, the people that just want to see somebody get the shit kicked out of them?
The thing is, no one narrative will probably fit the sport and everyone that's in it. So there are fans, there are lots of them, you know, that like drinking beer and seeing two guys just slug it out, right? It's like there's a fight in the schoolyard and everyone stops because they want to watch because it's entertaining to see two people fight. It's like caveman days, right? But then there's people that are like, okay, these people tried really hard, they've worked really hard, and they also have really complex techniques, and it's like a human chess match out there. And that's why I enjoy watching it. My mom probably wouldn't like, she doesn't like mixed martial arts, she likes cheering for me. So that's another fan in there, just the person that's supporting their friend. So there's lots of different people, and your reason to do it might be because you just like hitting people, because you have like aggression and anger problems. It might be because you like taking risks, and you're like kind of adrenaline junkie. Maybe it's because you just like testing yourself and growing, you know, and that's why I do it. I also like hitting people. So it's a mix of everything.
Yeah, because I'm a big MMA fan. So I think there is that contingent of people that are like NASCAR fans that want to see the crashes, or football fans that want to see the big hit, versus the, you know, the people who like to see the strategy and see what, or think they see the strategy anyway, and like to see what's going on. And I'd like to tell myself that I'm in that latter camp, but I do go. You know, I went to the bars this last weekend. And I watched the fights, and there's some people there. All they want to see is somebody get knocked out, and they don't care how it is or what happens, but that's all they want to see.
But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, a part of us, even if we are, or at least you and I, Matt, even if we are watching for strategy, for a human chess match, there's a part, you know, it's exciting to see somebody get hit, or it's exciting to see, you know, like that Condit fight when we watched, when he got that kick in and knocked St. Pierre down. That was exciting.
It was exciting. Yeah. It's almost, it's like any, I mean, from everything you look at that the humans create, human beings, right? The humans. Everything we create involves lots of violence most of the time, from the Bible to action movies. And people are excited by that. It makes us feel alive to a certain extent. We live through the people that we're watching, and it's dramatic. You know, it's two people competing against each other.
And that is, I mean, when somebody does get knocked out in, it is like that ends the fight. That's like a definitive end. So that's one reason why you get excited. And
yes.
I mean, before we were watching some old Bellator fights, and when somebody got knocked out, I stood up and went, "Oh my god!"
It was like the exclamation point at the end of the sentence.
Yeah,
but
you do
amazing.
Want to see, like, you know, afterwards, I was like, that guy's been throwing that same left hook the entire time. He finally connect. Like, there's a thing between just seeing somebody get knocked out and then seeing somebody get knocked out and then analyzing why and how it happened.
And what you kind of touched on earlier, Andrew, this idea of the people watching the fighters kind of projecting themselves as the fighters, and, you know, I guess it kind of goes much beyond MMA. I mean, we got Superman out in the movie theaters right now. So
yeah.
It's kind of tied on to that. But yeah.
Do you think it... Love deep philosophical questions. Are human beings naturally violent, or does society bring out their violence, or do they not have any? Are they not naturally violent, and it's just created for them by the society? You know. So, am I doing MMA? Is that promoting the thuggish machismo that gets people in bar fights? You know, on the weekends, am I promoting this idea that what it means to be a man is to be tough and rugged and non-emotional and violent? And, you know, I don't, it could do that to some people, but for me, it's a great outlet and a great challenge to myself, you know, to be a better person. I like actually grow as a human being doing this.
And I think I were kind of getting into that discussion. I know Joey had a post by former Albuquerque mayor Jim Baca that he wanted to ask you about, because now you're here to defend MMA for some reason it turned into that. But with Jim Baca, you know, he posted a story about Holly Holm, you know, the mm-hmm. famous boxer from Albuquerque.
And she hits really hard because she goes to Jackson's too.
she goes to Jackson's. And she retired from boxing to concentrate on MMA. And he just commented on it, people beating each other senseless for others' enjoyment. What a crock. And, well, I mean, how many of those type of people do you talk to about MMA?
Well, the thing is, well, I don't normally, you know, always talk about MMA. But when I do, not kidding. But when you hear that, it's kind of hard because you know they don't understand what the sport is and they've never done it before. You can talk to them about football, basketball. They've played team sports. They know. But when it comes to, like, in a fight, they're like, oh, you mean, like, at the bar? Or you mean, like, at the schoolyard? So there's really no reference point that I can bring to them other than another sport where I'm, like, I'm competing with somebody. That's all it is. Yeah, it's violent, but it's my choice to be there, and I'm really working hard at getting better at it.
Are you – that brings me to another question. Are you worried about what, you know, the toll that this sport might take on your body in the future? One of the guys I interviewed at Jackson's, he's only in his 50s, but he was on a cane, and he just kind of listed all the injuries that he's had before, and maybe he's done, I mean, you know, stuff that was less regulated than MMA in his time, but...
I think he was doing traditional martial arts.
Yeah.
But, so that ended up being more dangerous for him. But for lots of people, I say I like to look at Helio Gracie. He was one of the he created Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, essentially, which is like judo.
The Gracie family is like
Gracie family.
They're like the Andretti's of or whatever family dynasty you want to say.
It's like if Babe Ruth had a million kids and they invented baseball too.
Literally, there's millions of them.
But he did it till he was in his 90s. And part of it is like as a lifestyle of being fit and being healthy and training hard and eating right and not – and you're training hard, but you're not training like to hurt your training partner. So if you're just training for fun and everything else, it's actually going to be better for you in the long run as long as you're not getting – if you're fighting every day at sparring where you're getting knocked out and getting concussions
– You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it way wrong.
So, I mean, I want to take a step back from this and, you know, get back to you. So you want to go pro.
Yes.
I mean, I'm guessing your ultimate goal is UFC. That's everybody's ultimate goal at this point.
Kind of not. Because so, there's this – see, I'm all defending the sport, and then I'm like, you know, I want to go into the promotion that has less rules. It doesn't make any sense. But there's this one in Asia called ONE FC. And
soccer kicks.
They have soccer kicks, which are normally illegal in MMA, but I think it's exciting. It's like I want to go and climb – I don't want to climb the Sandias. I want to climb the Himalayas, you know. So it's like that. But also Bellator and just other promotions that are not the top. You know, my goal is to be the best mixed martial artist I can be. If that takes me to the UFC, that's great. And I'd be really honored and happy to fight for them one day. But I'm just going to try to go down my own path and see, you know, what I can get.
So if you went pro, would you go to Jack? Are there pro fights at those?
Yeah, there are pro fights at the Jackson series. There's pro fights all across, you know, the Southwest and some in Mexico even. And the only difference is that you're getting paid. You fight a little longer instead of 3-minute rounds. They're 5-minute rounds. And the competition is going to be steeper. Other than that, it's kind of the same thing I've been doing.
So you got one more. At least you're playing just one more amateur
fight. Just one more. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. Because it feels like why would I travel to California for an amateur fight? When no one's like, then I'm losing money to fight.
Right.
Right. But if someone is paying me to go to California to fight, then it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
So you got your fight here on the Jackson's card in August.
Yes.
But then what's next after that? When do you expect? I mean, I would think with the record you have that you could go pro at some point. Soon.
Yes.
So
I'm going to try and talk to some people that I know. Coach Luttrell, he's at Mean One, which is like the sister team of Jackson's. I'm going to talk to Ricky Konestad at Jackson's. He's the manager, general manager there. I'll talk to Coach Wink and Coach Greg Jackson.
John, he's the other guy behind Jackson's gym.
They're great guys, by the way. So shout out to them and the whole team. But I'll talk to them and my fellow teammates and see, hey, what should I do? Who should I talk to get some pro fights right now? Maybe get a manager of some kind.
Mm-hmm. And then I think it's useful for our audience to know also what you plan to do after your full-time, when you're not full-time MMA anymore.
Yeah.
What do you want to do with your life?
Well, I'm trying to work on my writing skills, some fiction, nonfiction, but I'm also working on logic problems and whatnot for the LSAT. I'm getting some reading done for the reading list that the State Department has. You know, I'm keeping my options open, whether I want to go to law school or join the State Department, be a diplomat one day. It's pretty exciting. I graduated from UNM with a poli-sci major, so I just want to help people and, you know, make the world better and be happy somehow.
And there have been, I mean, some prominent MMA fighters who've had, like, careers going on at the same time. I remember Shane Carwin. He was a full-time engineer at the mm-hmm. same time he was fighting in the UFC. So, I mean, it's not just all thugs.
And yeah, and then people will go get their doctorate, you know, and they'll be MMA fighters. Rosie Sexton, I think, has an MD or something. I know Carlos Newton does. But it doesn't make sense to do any kind of sport and not have a backup plan or to be one-dimensional as a human being. It's like, what are you? I'm a fighter. It's like, what else? Who else are you? It's like, oh, that's it.
Nice. Well, so tell us again, when is the fight?
August 10th.
And that's at the Downs Tingley Coliseum.
Yes.
And what time?
I believe the doors will probably open at 6 o'clock, but...
But who knows? It's
who knows? Who knows? It might change. But the thing is, there are other good people. Tons of people from Jackson is going to be on this card, right? John Sparks, I believe the main card is going to be Conrad Padilla. It's going to be really good. These guys work their butts off, and they're really smart, and they're really nice people. You know, they really treat me with lots of respect, even though I'm kind of like an MMA nerd that just walked in one day.
Well, maybe you can get us tickets and we'll go see you fight.
I know you gotta get my friend's tickets. You gotta get me that.
You're not getting paid.
I'm not getting paid. What are you talking about?
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again maybe after the fight. And
yeah, so that's Andrew Tennyson. You got a Twitter account, right?
Yeah, check me out at Tennyson MMA. T E N N E S O N. Kind of like the poet, but with an E. Tennyson MMA on Twitter and Facebook. I have like my little pages there, so come and check me out.
Yeah, and best of luck to you. And
thank you, sir.
We'll try to make that fight. Be nice to see you. And so I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter.
I'm Matthew Reichbach with New Mexico Telegram, nmtelegram.com.
And we'll be back next week.